The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Amy Caro. Amy is the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Roger.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation, especially given recent events involving particularly Defense Health Agency and its decision to use GSA for its IT contracts. Amy is the head of the Health Solutions business unit of Northrop Grumman. You are responsible, right, as I understand it, for both commercial, state, federal, local, all
international.
Wow.
Yes, the whole true vertical of health.
Wow, that's a big job.
But it's fun and exciting.
Well, and it's a very interesting time right now in that marketplace, especially in the federal space. But before we get started on that, I just want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about your background and how you came to be the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services.
Great. So I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. So
Steeler fan, I assume.
Steeler fan, yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I don't know if we can continue this conversation. I'm a Patriots fan, longstanding. So,
understand.
But which truce for today, okay?
That's fine. That's fair. Attended Carnegie Mellon University, so I have a technical background and knew nothing about government contracting. So I landed my first job in Annapolis for a company named Arinc Research. And I have basically experience in logistics information systems and financial management systems and worked for a number of companies over the years. But really, I would say in the early 2000s, I had an interest in health just because of what my parents were going through from going through the healthcare system. And had an opportunity to dive in and did that, ran the health business at what is now CGI, and Northrop came calling and decided to jump over to Northrop, and I've been there 10 years.
Wow.
And it's just a really exciting time, and what I love is the customer challenges, and as you said, it's a very interesting time, a lot of changes in the delivery of healthcare, in the ways that we're diagnosing patients. Cyber is such a critical part of maintaining health privacy. But the breadth and depth, I think, that we bring from Northrop from a technology perspective, coupled with the expertise, we have a lot of medical experts, whether they're epidemiologists or physicians, nurses, biostatisticians, combining the understanding of the mission with the technology, we're able to deliver faster, with less cost and high quality in this dynamic marketplace.
Yeah, it strikes me, you know, just picking up on a couple of things you said, you know, your background in financial systems, logistics. Mm-hmm. And then the cyber, they all, I mean, it's true in many areas of IT service delivery, but it seems to me when I think about healthcare, you really are talking about, there's a lot of logistics. It's, you know, it's taking care of the patient. It's the delivery of, you know, the pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's managing the supply chain in some instances at the hospitals that the government runs and pulling that all together. It seems to me is a huge, huge undertaking.
Absolutely. We've been involved with the PEPFAR program, which is the president's dispersing of drugs for HIV/AIDS in Africa. And so that's a logistics problem. And if you really look at what Northrop focuses on, logistics, cyber, situational awareness, C4ISR is the DOD term, and unmanned, those are the four pillars of Northrop. Health really fits in all those pillars, and unmanned nowadays with the Fitbits and the ingestible devices, really, and big data and what's going on there really is driving. So we fit very nicely within what Northrop has to offer. And our customers really, I think, appreciate it. Some of our customers we've been involved with for 20 years.
Right. So it sounds like Northrop is leveraging its expertise across its enterprise to deliver the healthcare IT support that customers need.
Absolutely. Whether it's around big data, cyber, and protecting. So what we found is probably even about 7 or 8 years ago, health customers didn't want to hear about things because it was not invented here in health.
Sure.
And so now being able to leverage a 60% solution so you can get it sooner and at a cheaper cost really in the last 5 years has really been very powerful. And it really enables them to deliver on their mission better.
Right. So with your responsibilities sort of, you're across all these various sectors.
Mm-hmm.
Does one lead the other? Can you talk a little bit about what you see as some of the differences between, the commercial, and I use that in quotes, IT, health IT space versus, the federal IT space?
So if you look at the continuum of health, you have life sciences, you have provider, you have public health, and you have payer. Now, in the federal marketplace, you can say CMS is the largest payer. Life sciences, FDA, NIH, as an example. Provider is military health system along with VA. And public health, obviously, CDC is the leader there. But if you look at then on the commercial side, certainly life science is commercial pharma and the research around there. Payers are like Aetna and the Blue Cross Blue Shield organizations. And obviously providers are more the hospital systems, et cetera. So if you look at comparing the two verticals in the commercial space, providers, it used to be you were having to sell to each provider, which is, you need a whole different model to do that versus selling into the federal. And it used to be commercial was leading the pack. And then you would adapt or adopt more into federal. But I would say there are some things that are being the leading edge in federal now. CMS is an example and what they're doing around accountable care organizations and the different models that are being adopted. So they are the largest payer really in the world. And so some of the things that they're driving from a policy perspective to really improve health outcomes at a lower cost really is driving the industry rather than industry driving federal.
Right. So in that context, is it when you talk accountable, when I hear those terms, is it managing that information flow of sort of, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just this is what's prescribed for a particular patient, what's the health outcome, it's reporting back, collecting all that information, whether it was effective or not, and then sort of from a big data perspective, seeing what the trends are? Is that?
Yes. So looking at things like as part of the pay for performance, as part of ACA, they're looking at, from a Medicare perspective, the outcomes that various physician groups are achieving, and they're going to pay for outcomes rather than pay for each claim. That is the model that they're going to go to. So accountable care organizations, rather than paying for on a per claim basis, they will say, I need $10,000 to have Roger healthy, keep Roger healthy. And basically,
hey, that's priceless. No, I'm just kidding.
But really looking at how and what that cost is based on your history medicines that you're on, et cetera, where things will go really is around precision medicine, more of personalized treatment plans. And you're seeing some of that in the commercial side. You're seeing Inova. Inova announced a large investment in that. And so that's something that really is so I see both of them kind of merging together as we move forward as a health industry.
Right. And so, but so it's safe to say the backbone that is that, you know, ability to exchange the information across to be able to.
Absolutely. Right. The whole interoperability and sharing of information. So why pay for multiple tests and it, you know, on multiple occasions and have one set and driving costs from there?
Right. Well, Amy, we have to take our first break already. Already up on the break.
Okay.
My guest today is Amy Caro. She is the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of, you know, some of the differences or similarities or the convergence of the commercial market versus the federal market for health IT and health support services. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Amy Caro. Amy is the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services. Also a big Steelers fan, much to my chagrin. No, just kidding, Amy. I was trying to get over the season. You know, I know both our teams lost.
Both our teams lost,
unfortunately.
That's right.
You know, there's only, 8 months more till football season again?
That's
I know.
It.
So, but when we took the break, we were talking about a really interesting conversation about, the commercial marketplace, the federal marketplace, the actors in it, and also some of the convergence and things that are going on there. And I just wanted to continue that, but a little different twist. I know Northrop's been involved in some major implementations and major efforts in this area, and some that touch, literally, millions of people mm-hmm. across the country.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, the healthcare records with regard to Medicare. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that project and what the goal was and mm-hmm. Northrop's support in that area?
Sure. As part of the High Tech Act, the incentives for physicians, hospital systems to adopt electronic health record systems and the whole meaningful use is a project that was called the National Level Repository, which we were the prime contractor on. And through that initiative, there was $27 billion worth of incentives that were provided to over 325,000 Medicare providers. And then the whole meaningful use, which is now turning into the pay-for-performance initiative, and we have systems that were supporting that as well. But if you really look at the things that Northrop has done, I like to sometimes say we're the stealth health business, but we have a 20-year history working side by side with the Centers for Disease Control and basically supporting every major public health event, such as Ebola, Haiti, H1N1, SARS. So we're involved with that. We have sent medical professionals with public health capabilities around the world, basically to 40 different countries. And we also manage the Medicare beneficiary database, which is the enrollment for Medicare, which basically supports 145 million beneficiaries, as well as the 1.3 million children who are enrolled in the Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program. And we do work in the states around Medicaid eligibility and also around special nutrition and temporary assistance for needy families. So we touch a lot of American families in multiple ways, whether it's through public health or it's through Medicare, Social Security. We do six of the top eight transactional web applications that basically they were designed by our user experience team. So we're really trying to basically live and breathe. We are all citizens, and we're trying to deliver the best service to the nation through our customers.
Right. And, when you describe that and based, on our conversation in the first segment is it just strikes me and, I just actually went to the doctor today, uh-huh. And had a little procedure. Nothing major, but just that is interoperability. I mean, it seems to me like just as a layperson and not a techie, is like when doctors' offices, the hospitals, the payors, the insurance companies, all those entities you described, mm-hmm. in the first segment, but whether it's commercial or government, mm-hmm. that interoperability, is that challenge solved, or is that an ongoing challenge? And my second question on that is, that also strikes me as, you've mentioned cyber a couple different times in the first segment. You know, it's the balancing of those two things, I guess, you know, and just, I'm just curious your thoughts in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. I think interoperability has a good start. Is it solved? No.
Yeah.
I think some hospital systems like Inova, as an example, Hopkins, et cetera, are well on their way. But then how do you, between hospital systems,
sure, yeah.
Share information and share it securely? I think a lot of people understand cyber around fraud or financial cyber, where, you know, their personal identification and cyber criminals are running up credit cards, et cetera. But there's also this health cyber market where medical information, which then can be put into fraudulent claims, happens, et cetera. So we really are taking a holistic approach to cyber and really looking at what we call a digital persona. So really, if a person, where from a fraud and cyber perspective do they touch, whether it's, you know, through IRS or through Social Security or through their health care or through social media.
Uh-huh. Right,
so really right. Looking at all of that to help our customers understand that it's not one dimensional.
Right. That's a great point. It is multidimensional. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Facebook or whatever, LinkedIn,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in that regard, I guess a follow-up question there is, where do you see it's the push-pull, and when I think about, you know, the government experience, we had the recent OPM issue. The government has been pretty proactive in terms of, you know, developing additional requirements for contracts, for IT, and NIST is, you know, mm-hmm. a leader in leading and establishing standards. Do you see, you know, the government driving this, or is it still something where, you know, the innovation and the, you know, cybersecurity is, you know, more effective coming through the, you know, through commercial experience in dealing with it? I don't know if I've articulated my question very clearly, but
I think from a commercial standpoint, let's look at financial institutions. They did cyber first, okay? But it's getting more and more sophisticated, and you have to look for internal threats as well as external threats. And I think health is starting to understand that more and more, particularly as they open up their web applications and go mobile. Mobile, the key there is making sure things are secure.
Right,
so your data, you know, you see television commercials about getting your credit cards hacked by, you know, kind of a scanner going by it. You know, is that going to happen with phones? You know, you have to kind of think ahead and think bigger picture. So as we put things, you know, like I never save my password when I'm on my phone and I go to a site, do you want to save your password? I think it's on Apple.
Yeah.
I never want to save my passwords
on that's
my
right,
phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just as an example.
Yeah, and that's an interesting observation. I think it strikes home to me is when, you know, the folks in Silicon Valley, they're thinking about the next gizmo thing that they're going to sell in a commercial marketplace, and not necessarily about that holistic approach of what does it mean from a security perspective,
a secure coding perspective, secure data perspective, and they understand the different layers, but putting that all together. And I think there's some great innovation.
Right.
The challenge also is the procurement process on the federal side. and there's a reason the procurement process.
See, now you're speaking my language.
I understand. There's a reason why the procurement process is how it is. However, you know, is there ways to, I know that the president and even the Secretary of Defense have been wanting more out of Silicon Valley, but they're not wanting to step up to some of the terms or deal with some of the challenges around the process.
Right. Absolutely. And on that note, Amy, we'd have to take our next break. My guest today is Amy Caro. She is the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services. And when we come back, we're going to focus a bit more on the federal market. But first, I'm going to ask Amy just about, you know, some of the great innovative technologies that Northrop Grumman has been a leader in. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Amy Caro. Amy is the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services. And we've been talking a lot about the, you know, just generally healthcare technology and that sort of thing. But I would be remiss. I wanted to just ask you about your thoughts because, you know, we touched a little bit about, you know, the Department of Defense and seeking innovation and that sort of thing. And innovation seems to be the, you know, the buzzword of the day, I guess, so to speak, right now. And so I just, your thoughts on innovation, you know, what does it mean in your space and how you deliver to your customers?
Well, certainly innovation is very important to Northrop Grumman. And it's something that we lean forward and we look forward into what do we want to invest in from an internal research and development perspective. And for health, you know, we've been focusing on things such as data analytics, big data, fraud, and precision medicine. And we were thinking about precision medicine before President Obama even announced last year and then this year the focus for that. And so I'd say 3 to 4 years ago, we were really focusing on that. And we're partnering with Inova and other University of California, San Francisco on several initiatives within NIH. So really being a partner to help ingest that data, look at examples of where, as an example, there are 125 approved drugs right now that will metabolize differently depending on who is taking the drug.
Okay.
And knowing that is very helpful, again, towards that target treatments and therapies. And so we're basically looking at the genomics along with electronic health record data to help look at what drugs might be better for different patients, and so proving out those capabilities.
Right. That sounds, I mean, that is sounds like a huge big data
it is
effort.
Huge,
right.
Huge.
And that seems to me the wave of the future for healthcare, right? I mean, the more precise you can be in terms of the delivery of the medicine or whatever it is, the more likely a good outcome, right?
Absolutely. So if a typical treatment plan for a typical cancer is you start with drug A, then go to drug B, then go to drug C, for some reason, the patient should go to drug C first.
Right.
You're saving time, you're improving their outcome, and you're saving cost. And
right.
So you can increase the probability of the better health outcome. And you see a lot of people who have bad reactions, whether it's certain drugs, chemotherapies, et cetera, that then cause them worse health later on in their life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. I mean, it's really interesting. It gets into things about DNA, too, and all that,
yes,
right? Yeah,
yes, absolutely. And that's also critical around privacy and information. And so we really are looking at, you look at the Veterans Affairs and their Million Veteran Program, the MVP program, and what they're looking to do. They've collected a million veterans' information and then looking to see about improving health outcomes. And if you have, 20% of the population has 80% of the healthcare costs, and it's
right.
based on chronic diseases, et cetera. So if you take diabetes as an example and treat it earlier, then you can have an improved health outcome and not have to amputate a limb and
right.
things of that nature.
So you're helping the patient. You're saving money in the long run too.
Saving
both,
money
right?
and
right.
improving the health outcome. So we're looking at the bigger picture. So as I mentioned, the continuum of health. We're looking at really the life sciences side. We're looking at the provider side to a certain extent, but also looking at the payer side and really looking at how to improve those health outcomes as where CMS is driving the country.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, more specific or, you know, more precise on some of the, you know, what's going on in the federal space and Defense Health Agency, which I think was stood up 2 or 3 years ago now as a reorganization of their health delivery organizations at, in the department. You know, has recently made a, you know, a decision to utilize GSA for its health IT support services or its IT needs in a certain sense. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that. It's an interesting development, I think, overall positive development. I'm just curious on your thoughts on that.
Well, certainly you have a lot of customers have their own contracting vehicles. So I think this is the first time that a large agency has moved in that direction. Do you have vehicles such as NIH's CIOSP3, which has in their last round more of a health focus? But I think it really creates an avenue for customers, whether DHA or other customers, to be more educated in acquiring health IT support. And so I think it increases the visibility and access. Hopefully they'll make it very expeditious and not a long process to award. You know, I think it's still in the early stages and see how it really comes out. But, you know, really advancing secure health information and strengthening the delivery of healthcare is important.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those things is here is an opportunity, and I know we hear it all the time amongst government contractors is the, you know, the duplication and that the additional administrative costs, the overhead to establish a new contract vehicle when there's already these pre-existing vehicles in place that can meet the needs, whether it's like GS, whether it's NIH's COSP3, whether it's GSA's Alliant or the GSA Schedules program. There are opportunities there. And, you know, it's an opportunity for, I think to your point, for folks to focus on the requirements instead of the process, because those contracts are designed to streamline the process.
Yes. And I think that, you know, it creates that opportunity and not every company is on every vehicle.
Right. That's
and
true.
So,
that's very true.
So in terms of access, I think it creates more access for companies to offer solutions to DHA in this case. But I think, again, as with any procurement process, what the requirements are and how they're evaluating it is very much critical.
Right. And that's the fundamental. It's good sound requirements, you know, foster competition and sound outcomes for ultimately the customer. It's all the key. You're 100% right about that. You know, I just, you know, in that sense, I also wanted to turn to another, you know, your professional labor of love, but also another labor of love that you're involved in. You are the chair of the Easter Seals Advocacy Awards Dinner for 2016. You know, I commend you for taking on. That's a huge responsibility. That's a second job right there.
Sometimes it feels like it, yes.
Yeah. Can you, you know, we're almost up on the break. We've got about a minute left. We can start that conversation, and I want to spend the next segment focusing on the dinner, what it supports, and how Easter Seals is really truly supporting and doing great things for our veterans nationwide.
Absolutely. And I think when I first got involved with Easter Seals, I really didn't know the depth and breadth of what they are in terms of delivering the services. And I was just amazed by visiting. They have a excellent intergenerational center in Silver Spring and then an adult center up outside of Baltimore by Social Security and CMS, and really finding the excellent care that they do and the breadth of the services that they provide is really astounding. It really touched my heart very much.
Yeah, and I share your appreciation, and actually, you know, to the same extent, the, you know, not under really understanding the depth and breadth of what Easter Seals does across the country to support folks in all walks of life. And we do have to take our break. But when we come back, we'll focus on the dinner itself, its purpose, and how Easter Seals is supporting our veterans as they transition to civilian life or come home from overseas. My guest today is Amy Caro. She is the Vice President for Health Solutions, Northrop Grumman Technology Services. She is also the chair of the Easter Seals 2016 Advocacy Awards Dinner. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Amy Caro. Amy is the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services. She is also the chair of the Easter Seals Advocacy Awards dinner, this celebration dinner this year, 2016. And we're going to spend a fair amount of this segment talking about what the dinner is and what it supports. And first, Amy, I'm just going to open it up and say, what is the Advocacy Awards dinner? And, you know, and also talk a little bit about your role as chair.
Sure. So since 2004, leaders in the business, government relations, and professional services have joined military and government dignitaries at the Advocacy Awards to support vital Easter Seals programs and honor advocates who have demonstrated an exemplary commitment to advancing opportunities for children and adults with disabilities or special needs, especially military families. So if you really look at the types of programs and services that Easter Seals provides, child development, respite care, caregiver training, adult day services, the Veteran Staffing Network, and homeless veterans reintegration that help military families and others with special needs be independent, included, and contributing to society. So what the awards dinner is not your typical event that you have around the D.C. area. It's not a gala. There isn't a auction.
Right.
It is a networking event that it is about the mission. It is about the people that the Easter Seals serves, and it is a fundraiser. There's a fund the need part of the event, but it really is about understanding the criticalness of the services that they provide.
Okay, so and when is the dinner and where is it?
Sure, it's April 19th. At the Washington Convention Center. And this year we have three recipients for awards. It's General Mark Welsh, who is the Deputy Chief of Staff for the Air Force. It is General Carl McNair, retired, who really is the father of aviation. And Northrop Grumman is being honored as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for
the work that Northrop does. And so that's very exciting. But even more exciting is who the presenters will be. We have Elizabeth Dole attending as a presenter. We have Rosalynn Carter, the former First Lady, as a presenter, and Admiral Mullen. So we are going to have quite the evening with numerous military dignitaries, past and present. And we also have the Chairman Ryan is sending out a note to his colleagues to in support of this event as well. So this really is something that touches congressional members.
Oh, sorry, the House Speaker?
Yes. Yes. And that's something that we just found out about in the last couple of days. So it's really a networking event, and it's really about the mission of Easter Seals.
Right. So one of the things I wanted to touch a little bit on and is in what I've been to the dinner the last couple of years, and it is a wonderful, wonderful event. Mm-hmm. It's really, I mean, I know what the right term, heartwarming. It's, mm-hmm. You feel good.
Yes.
About, all the support and the stories that you hear about how Easter Seals has provided assistance to veterans. Mm-hmm. To others in need as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to spend a couple minutes and focus a little bit on the veterans piece of it and
yes.
if whether you could talk a little bit more about, if I know there's a Veteran Staffing Network. Can mm-hmm. you talk a little bit about what that function is?
So it is a part of Easter Seals that really coaches returning veterans to get back into the job market. and helps connect them with various companies and openings at companies, and helps them with their resume and really get them prepared to re-enter into the workforce. And we've had a lot of positive results with it.
Right. So, and before we go any further, I'd be remiss. Can you give folks the website where they can learn more about the dinner itself?
Yes. There is an advocacy website, and it's www.advocacy.org to get more information. And also just wanted to highlight the Easter Seals website is www.easterseals.com/DCMDVA.
Right. And again, at the dinner is April 19th
yes.
at the Washington Convention Center. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. It's getting bigger and bigger every year.
It is. We ran out of space for where it was last year.
Absolutely. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Did it surprise you? I think, and I know it surprised me when I learned more about Easter Seals and what it actually, you know, I remember Easter Seals in the commercials when I was a kid. I'm pretty old, mm-hmm. Right? You see those, but you know, and that's my only connection mm-hmm. to Easter Seals until the last couple of years. You know, did it surprise? I mean, I know it surprised me. I'm just asking your thoughts on what it actually does to support veterans and their families. You know, particularly that tough time of transition from from active duty to civilian life. That's a huge change, and mm-hmm. In terms of the change in culture and in trying to find the right fit for someone in the civilian life. How did you learn about that, and did it surprise you?
Yes, it very much surprised me. And really, I was invited by Robin Portman last year to get involved. And certainly my father was in the military and really not understanding some of the challenges that they face when they come back. But in terms of support to veterans and military families, so there's over 1.2 million service members who will leave the military over the next 4 years that many of them have PTSD, TBI, and other injuries. And they look for support. Sometimes what gets left out are the children. So Easter Seals does a wonderful Little Warrior program where they get kids involved in activities and things of that nature that get them connected with other kids and let them have fun, learn and grow and things like
my reaction to that not only helps the kids, I think it also helps the parents, right? It gives the parents, I think a sense of security that they can take their kids to an Easter Seals Little Warriors program. Mm-hmm. And give their kids an opportunity, as you described, to interact with other kids, to get involved in various programs and learning activities in a safe environment. And to me, that's priceless in terms of the support it provides to, the entire family. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what Easter Seals has done over the last couple of decades is really look at what is happening, one in eight baby boomers will be impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The growing rates of incidents of autism. This Easter Seals chapter has really focused on autism and now has a program for some autistic children. It's a small program, but it really is demonstrating great results. And really looking at the respite care. So looking at wounded warriors come back, really, getting that break, and giving the kids a break and the adults a break and really understanding that stress. And it really touched my heart.
Sort of like a
heart.
Safe harbor. It's like it's a step before or part of that facilitation of transition. Can you give the websites one more? The funds from the Advocacy Awards Dinner go to support all these programs that you have described today that Easter Seals supports across our community. And it's a wonderful thing. So, you know, we're running close to the end of the time. Yep. I want to give you a chance to give those email address. I mean, the website address.
Advocacy website is www.advocacy.org. And the Easter Seals website is www.easterseals.com/DCMDVA. And the theme for our event is creating a greater community.
Absolutely. It's a great event. I commend folks to go to those websites, take a look, learn more about what Easter Seals does to support the community and how you can support it through the Advocacy Awards dinner. Amy, thank you so much for being
Roger.
On the show.
It was
a great show.
It.
And thank you for all you're doing for Easter Seals. We all really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So my guest today is Amy Caro. She is the Vice President for Health Solutions at Northrop Grumman Technology Services. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.